22, and it continues to grow, and they continue to reach the lost there in Cincinnati. And so we are thankful for our North American missionaries as well as those overseas. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and praying for the Mathis family. Father God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for this time together. Father, as we gather here, Lord, we lift up to you the Mathis family as they serve you in Cincinnati, Ohio, with the church that they have planted. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, continue to bless the works of their hands for your glory. Thank you, Father, for the testimony of how you have used them there in a mighty way. God, we also pray for our international missionaries, Father, that you would be with them as they struggle through the cultural barriers, overcoming language difficulties, and Lord, that you would continue to call people to missions. Perhaps there's some here today in this church who you've been speaking to lead, to go, and Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful to do such as that, to go. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget, Deacons meeting is September 14th. Be sure to mark that on your calendar, deacons, as well as offering. You can leave your offering here on the plates as you leave. If you need any offering envelopes, we have some in the back. They should be in the pews in front of you. Also, with Operation Christmas Child, we are looking for WOW items. And one of the things to remember is we are not taking the soap for Operation Christmas Child this year. So please make sure you don't bring soap, because they do not want that. Don't forget to sign up if you're interested in the September 13th church security training from 11 to 3. I want to encourage you to be here for that if you can, as well as continue to spread the news about our 75th anniversary, as we have handouts that you can take home and hand out those to friends or family and invite them. There's a lot of exciting things planned for that day. And so we'll have a guest speaker, or Matt Ledbetter from our Duck River missions will be here, as well as a special music group, the Perrys. And so invite people to be a part of that. And we believe it will be a great time of worship and celebration. But also, I want you to pay attention to this video as we talk about, with our golden offering this year, being together and how we pray, we give, and we go with the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board. And so watch this quick video, and then we will continue on with our service. Thank you.
As we begin praying about planting a church and where we would plant that church, we really were driven by the Ford bringing Blue Oval to this area and all the people that would be moving here as that plant opened up in this area.
Good morning, sir. Welcome to Manor Community Church.
What we found is there's already a lot of people here that we need to be ministering to, connecting to, as we are patient to wait for those new people to come. We're seeing, with the Ford automotive manufacturing plant, people coming from all over the world, all over the country, coming to this area, and we want to be a safe place for them to come and find community, for them to come and find worship, and be able to come and find their place of worship. There are things that God has called each individual one of us to do that if we are faithful and obedient, God can use to change the world. There's so much lostness in this area. We need more churches. We need more people to take the light into these dark spaces and to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
A year ago at our executive committee, we made a decision as an association to take that golden offering money and to give it to our new church plants. Now we're excited to see that a year from that, we have an existing real church that is thriving and growing. We're really excited to see what God is going to do in the future, not only here at the Manor, but with future church plants to come.
As we begin to pray about planting a church, it's so easy as a church planter to feel lonely or to feel on an island. I think one of the greatest things is knowing there's churches all across the state who are praying for us and helping and working together with us to see God's kingdom advance. There are so many churches, not only in Fayette County, but across the state, along with the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board, that are wanting to see not only our church, but churches in this area to be successful, to reach people for the gospel. and to be able to see the kingdom grow through the work he's doing here in Fayette County. Thank you, Tennessee Baptist, for giving through the golden offering. Through your giving, you make church planting possible.
Thank you, Matt. Now, if you would, join us as we continue singing and worshiping by singing hymn 606, I Gave My Life for Thee. You can stay seated for this one. I gave my life to Thee, my precious blood I shed. Children's Church will be gathering over here on the piano side as we do this next hymn. And if you would, please stand with us as we sing 495, Serve the Lord with Gladness. And stand, please. Praise unto him, our Maker.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19 through verse 21. This message this morning is somewhat of a continuation. It's actually going back before a message I preached back in April when we had our first 75th anniversary service. I'd preached a part of this story of Elisha and Elijah, which you'll be reminded of in just a moment. And so in preparation for our final service of our 75th anniversary, I had a couple of other things I wanted to share with you from God's Word dealing with this story that I believe that can help us have direction for the future and what God would have us to be doing. And so this passage is in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 through verse 21. So let's stand as we read God's Word in honor of His Word. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for your word and for what you have been doing these last 75 years of the history of this church. Father, I pray that your blessings will be upon us for the next 75. Father, that we will be in the center of what you are doing, what you want us to do, reaching the people you would have us to reach. And we know that begins right here where we are in our own families, in our own communities. Father, I pray that you will give us a burden for the lost people around us. But Lord, we know that it doesn't just stop there. It continues on to this nation and to this continent that we live upon, as well as to the peoples of the world. And so, Father, you may be calling some people this morning. You may have been calling them all along, and they've not been listening to your voice. I pray, Lord, that they would hear you clearly speaking to their hearts this morning in whatever it is that you're calling them to do. Father, we know that you have a plan for our church. We know, God, that you have a plan for our lives individually. And we just want to be in the center of your will, doing all you would have us to do, being all you would have us to be. So, Father, fill us with your Spirit, empower us to do that, and we ask your blessings upon this passage this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. And you can be seated. As I said before, the last time that we looked at Elisha, we saw him being led around by Elijah, the prophet, to various places that were significant in the history of Israel, because what Elijah was doing on that last day of his life, he knew that was going to be his last day. We talked about that in that message. And he wanted to take Elisha around to many of those significant places of events that had happened in the history of Israel, because he wanted Elisha to be reminded to never forget to remember. In this passage today, I'm taking us back before that day, that last day of Elijah's life. I want to take us back to discover what was it that led Elisha to the place that he followed Elijah to the very end. And one of the truths that we're going to learn from this passage is that when God calls us to follow him, he doesn't simply invite us to add him to our already busy schedules. So often that's the way we approach God. If I've got time for you, God, I'll put you in somewhere here. Maybe at the end of the day when I'm laying down to go to sleep, I'll say a prayer. And so often that tends to be the example of our lives. Too often we want God's blessings without God's surrender. We want him as our Savior, but we hesitate to yield to him as our Lord. And so the story here of Elisha calls us and reminds us, that, and this calling that he receives reminds us that following the Lord is not about half measures. It's about a decisive break with the past. It's about a willingness to give God our undivided devotion. That doesn't mean that you don't learn from the past and you don't remember the past. That's a part of what our 75th anniversary has been all about. We are honoring the past, and God has done so many great things in our past. But he doesn't want us to stay in our past. We're encouraged by what God has done for us. Elisha, what we find out in those verses that we just read, when he received the call of God, he goes and he talks to Elijah, and he says, let me go back and say goodbye to my family first and do some things there, and then I'll come and follow you. And Elijah says, hey, go. I didn't put any demands on you. You can go do that. And so he goes back, and you see in those verses that he makes that offering not only of the animals, the oxen there, the 12 oxen that he has, but also of the yoke, of the plow, if you will, that he had attached to them. And so literally what he's doing when he burns his plows, he is saying, I am all in, there is no turning back. There are three things that characterize his response this morning. And believe it or not, this is where the invitation to something greater begins. We think about those last 75 years of Highland Baptist Church, and we look forward to the future with one truth that we need to understand, is that the path to something greater many times goes through the valley of surrender and sacrifice and service. And that's what we're going to see in these three characteristics in Elisha. You know, when God calls people, those three words characterize their lives: surrender, sacrifice, and service. The question we ask this morning is that what you signed up for? Is that what you thought you were getting into when you came to faith in Jesus Christ? Believe it or not, Jesus takes that same thought to a whole new level. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, he said this, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now read that verse again, what he says to those he draws together and his disciples. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, that phrase, deny yourself, means a total abandonment of your life to God. Notice that Jesus did not say, deny your money. He didn't say, deny food. He didn't even say, deny sin. He said, deny yourself. Denying yourself means saying no to all you want from life so that you can say yes to all that God wants from your life. It means putting your yes on the table. Deny yourself. And then that next phrase that he says is to take up your cross. Think about that one for just a moment, because we don't always in our thoughts and our minds have the real true image of the cross. Sometimes we wear a necklace and it has a cross on it, or maybe you have a bookmark that has a cross on it, or as you see here above the baptistry, we've got a cross. That's not, I talked to our WANA kids and our CDC kids this past week about symbols, and that's not the cross that Jesus actually died on. That's a symbol that reminds us of what Christ did for us, that he died on the cross. You know, so often crosses are sentimental. They're symbols of our faith. They're pieces of jewelry that we wear around our neck. But for those people in the first century, crosses were a symbol of Roman racism and oppression. A picture of a cross, the image of a cross, evoked horror in the hearts of all who beheld them. Condemned men hung on those crosses in shame, totally dominated by the will of another. Sometimes in our use of the symbol of the cross, we lose the horror of the cross. And yet this is the image that Jesus uses, that he describes to his disciples and tells them about. And his disciples are saying, thinking there, when he says, take up your cross, his disciples...